The views and opinions expressed on this show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction on our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the show.
To learn who rules over you, simply find out you are not allowed to criticise. You are listening to ACH, I'm Andy, your host, and on today's instalment of I'm Talking to You, originally recorded on Friday, August the 29th, 2025, at achshow.com, I will be presenting a show entitled The Dog with the Dragon Tattoo. And the time is 8:26 a.m. here in London, making it 3:26 a.m. on the east coast of America, and coming up to 12:30 on the west coast of America. Welcome to wherever you are around the world. Okay, so you might have heard someone say tomorrow's news today is a slogan. Well, this is actually appropriate, because everything I would have told you tomorrow, I'm telling you today. This is really the Saturday show that I put out for free every week. But as I have got a lot more to do tomorrow, Saturday, than I have today, I have decided to record the show and broadcast it on the Friday. I like to broadcast it as soon as I've recorded it, rather than record it today and still put it out on Saturday. So you're getting it a day early. There is, I think, £20 in the pot for the next bonus show, so I just need £30 more, and another bonus show will be released. But this really is the usual Saturday show instead on a Friday. I think I've done it once before. Okay, the show title and show image relates to, well, you can see for yourself, pretty odd image, isn't it? But it's been causing a stir throughout the internet this week, and lots of different people are reporting on it. Basically, there's a pet fair going on in Shanghai, and a guy turned up with it with this. This is a Mexican hairless dog that you're looking at. So initially I thought they'd shave the dog to do the tattoo, which would have been even more awful. But yeah, the image speaks for itself. There's obviously been a backlash. No anaesthetic was used when the dog was being tattooed, but the guy who owns the dog is shown pinching the dog's flesh online and holding him up by it, saying that the dog doesn't feel a thing. The guy who tattooed it initially turned down the request, but in the end agreed to do it. And yeah, people are calling for the dog owner and the tattoo artist to be punished. I think that the people, did I say that when he turned up to the pet fair with this tattooed dog, he was turned away from this pet fair in Shanghai. And according to the tattoo artist, the owner regarded the dog as a bit like his child and said that he would look cooler with a tattoo. Now, I'm not a fan of tattoos. And of course, here it appears that the dog didn't really have any say in the matter either. And I was thinking about this yesterday when I first saw the story, and I thought, you know, dogs, they're always cleaning themselves and things like that. Not as much as cats, but they clean themselves. And what if this dog, you know, it sees this stuff drawn all over it and it thinks it's dirt and it keeps trying to get it off? I don't know. But the other thing I thought is, you know, this is against the dog's will, but I think most people who get tattoos are against their will. And I'll explain that by saying this. It's all about the media. It's all about what this guy just said. Oh, it'd look cooler with a tattoo. Well, isn't that why people get tattoos? what are all these influencers getting? And in the past, before you really had influencers on the internet, it was the late 90s the tattoo thing really started to pick up. It was people, sportsmen and musicians, and showing off tattoos and stuff like that. And so now, for me, the majority of people get them. But if these people weren't out there with them, then the public wouldn't be getting them either. You'd still get what you used to get having tattoos. People like in the Navy, stuff like that, might get a tattoo. Merchant Navy especially. I remember Mike Walsh telling me about it. But that's my view, that people who get them are really against their will as well. They've just been brainwashed. They're just unaware of that fact. It's up to them if they want to get them. But I don't hear many stories about problems resulting from this ink being placed under the skin. And I have heard some, but I don't think it could be any good for you, really, could it? Injecting this effectively into your body, ink. What makes up ink? I suppose it differs from ink to ink, but I can imagine that there'd be some out there that wouldn't be good for you. And indeed, in the Bible, it does say not to pierce or mark the flesh. And that is actually interpreted by the Catholic Douay-Rheims Bible as do not tattoo the flesh. But in the King James, I believe it says do not pierce or mark. So anyway, there you have that, the show title and the show image. The other thing is, I don't know if like me you get unsolicited email arriving, people signing you up for mailing on mailing lists that you don't want. Suddenly you're on a mailing list, you're like, how did I get there? I didn't sign up. Some people even pretending to be you on things like Substack, which, as you know, I read an email I sent to them after someone had pretended to be me using my email address. Never heard a thing back from them, so anyway, I'm on this email list, and I got something in the email that says feudalism 2.0, venison for me, crickets for thee, the old script in a new costume. And it reads like this: history doesn't repeat, but it rhymes. In the Middle Ages, peasants were forbidden to hunt deer or boar. Why? Because the king wanted the venison, and because bows in the hands of peasants could just as easily kill a noble as a stag. Fast forward a few centuries and the costume has changed. Crowns have been swapped for Patagonia vests and private jets, but the script is identical. Today's climate aristocracy scolds you for eating beef, demands you bike to work, and insists you don't need a gun. Meanwhile, they gorge on filet mignon aboard Gulf Streams with private security in tow. It's feudalism 2.0. Same logic, greener wrapping. Heading, meet monopolies then. Kings monopolised wild game under forest law. Deer, boar and swan were royal animals. Peasants caught poaching could be fined, mutilated, even executed. The rule wasn't about ecology, it was about prestige and control. Meat was power. Peasants, your turnip stew is sustainable. This £300 roast boar is for my carbon neutral banquet. And there's a king sat there with a big boar. Next heading, meat monopolies now. The Davos set tells you meat is bad for the planet. Bugs are the future. Yet their private banquets feature Wagyu beef, foie gras and fresh salmon. PR spin, sustainable protein. Reality, crickets for thee, ribeye for me. And then weapons then is the next heading. Hunting bans doubled as weapons bans. A bow that could drop a deer could also drop a noble. By outlawing hunting, kings also prevented peasants from practicing archery and organising armed resistance. The message, farm and obey, don't arm and rebel. Weapons now is the next heading. Today's elites repeat the same script. You don't need guns, but they surround themselves with armed security and live behind gates. Then as now, disarm the people, arm the guard. Travel privilege is the next heading. Medieval nobles went on lavish hunting tours across preserved forests. Modern nobles jet to climate conferences to tell you to bike to work. Then, these forests are protected for noble use. Now, the planet must be saved, so no flights for you, except our private jets. Next heading, the feudal logic, old and new. 1. Restrict food, then venison, now beef. 2. Restrict weapons, then bows, now guns. 3. Restrict travel, then forest access, now flights and cars. And our first climate lockdown, no forest for you, Nova Scotia and New Brunswick. So it sounds like the author is in Canada. 4. Preserve privilege, then castles, now gated estates and jets. And the final thing is heading is Feudalism 2 in plain sight. The peasants of old knew the truth. Rules were for them, privileges for the elite. We're relearning that lesson. The King's Forest Law has become the globalist climate law. The message hasn't changed. Eat the stew, not the venison. Lay down the bow, don't rise up. Stay put, don't travel. The only thing that's changed is the costume. And this is attributed to a Substack account of a guy called Michael Bater, originally published on August the 27th. And I've told you about my problems with Substack. They don't seem to be interested in people setting up accounts and using somebody else's email address. And when I point out to them, they don't even have the courtesy to write to me to apologise and thank me for bringing it to their attention. But there you go. One can only wonder who Substack's interests or what interests Substack have at heart. Okay, so let's go over to what I have found of interest in the news since Monday's show. And first off, we've got some follow-ups on articles. So I've been talking about the British tourists on holiday with the sun loungers. Well, a couple of them were fined for reserving sun loungers on a beach in Spain before 8 a.m. Apparently you're not allowed to reserve until after 8 a.m. and quite substantial fines, I think, that you can get over in Spain. Of course, this is the age of fining people, of essentially using laws to raise money. Apparently they can be fined between 300 and 750 euros, which is over £250 minimum, just under £650 maximum, according to their current regulations. So there you go. All this travelling really doesn't seem so attractive as it used to, doesn't it? Seems to be almost by design, doesn't it? And some other Brits have decided to go a little step further. And they've been sleeping overnight on sun loungers at a hotel. So as they're at the hotel, it seems that they're not subject to these laws, because these people that got fined were on a beach, which is obviously public property, whereas a hotel is the hotel's property. But again, I remember going on holiday, and when we went to these sort of, it was always sort of Greece, Turkey, that sort of stuff. We're never big on Spain, anything like that, when I was younger. So I don't know if it's hotter over there, but certainly one of the essential things that you needed was your mosquito repellent for the day, and that little thing that you plug in each night that apparently keeps the mosquitoes out of the room. Well, if this guy's sleeping outside, he's going to get bitten all over, one would imagine. But and the other thing for me, a holiday, 2 weeks on a sun lounger by a pool, is just boring. I have to be going out, I have to be seeing places, doing, you know, little boat trips, or even going round town, stuff like that. As long as you keep me away from boring old museums and dowdy old castles, I've never liked that sort of stuff. But just sitting there on a sun lounger by a pool is not for me, too boring. Okay. The other thing that I've got a follow-up for you is apparently, I think it's about £3,700 that the British government are giving to people who buy a certain electric car as some sort of grant. So you only get that at the moment for a couple of cars that are made by Ford. So I don't know which ones they are, but I don't imagine you'll be queuing up to buy them anyway. But that's where we are with that. But of course, there's a lot more electric cars out there that aren't getting the full grant from the government. So you've obviously got to jump through more than being an electric car to get that subsidy. And then we've got going back to travelling. Well, this is travelling locally. You've talked about the Irish train line that was fining people for playing music without headphones, stuff like that. That annoys me to no end. And but then found out other things that they were going to fine people for. Well, it turns out the London Underground, they're not going as far as the fining route at the moment, but they are essentially putting up posters on the new Elizabeth line. I've never been on that line, actually. That's the new one that came up a few years ago, was open. And the posters are going to urge people to use headphones with their whatever they're using to listen to music or videos or what have you. So they're not jumping on the fine route like Irish Rail are. At the moment, they're going for a softly, softly approach with posters. But going back to when I saw them being fined, as I mentioned, then they're fining you for having bags on seats. And I've been through all that, and I'll put them there to kind of as a deterrent. But if it starts getting busy, I'll move them, because I don't want to be embarrassed by someone asking me to move them. But if they can fine you just by having them there, I'm like, well, that's not right if there's not, you know, if there's no one else using them. Do you know what I mean? I never put my feet on the seat, stuff like that, because that's not fair. Someone else is going to sit on it. Well, there's a French train. I don't know what the company is, but a woman was travelling on it, and she had a cat called Monet. And do you know what she got fined 110 euros for? She got fined 110 euros because her cat meowed too loudly. So there you go. It's it was the state rail operator, so they still operate trains by, you know, they're publicly owned, which is you know, better than the private situation. Although a lot of people say that, and I'm one of them, because I think that this privatisation, it's just for people, these companies, to milk it out of the system, and then they have to be made state-owned again to pump all the money back in. This mix between the two, public-private partnership, well, who makes the money? I think I can guess who. But SNCF is the state rail operator in France. And going back to rail in the UK, there was all sorts of jokes about British Rail, because they were pretty awful, all right, certainly when I was growing up. But again, this was all, I wasn't getting trains until, you know, I was well into sort of my teens getting trains, because I'd get them on my own. My parents didn't get trains, they had cars. And that was in the heyday of the Thatcher government. I probably started getting trains in, what, 87 by myself. And it makes you wonder if they were being deliberately disrupted. I remember one time I was on the way home on a train, and there was only 1 hour, and they cancelled 2 in a row. And my dad phoned up the train company and said, look, my son's there, he's a child, you can't do this. And they actually put another train on. There was a there was a train that was supposed to stop running a few stops before where I was, and instead they ran it to the end of the line. So they obviously got a little bit nervous when they got a call like that. But anyway, there you go. Right, let's see what else I've got. I've tried to find things a little bit more fun, because I was really cheesed off with the mainstream media on Monday's bonus show, as you probably notice. So I've been taking a break away from it and looking for some more fun news. But before we get into that, there's some TikTok accounts that are claiming that Benidorm has become a ghost town. And of course, the reports on this are bringing up the fact that there's been all these protests in Spain against the holidays. Against tourists, rather. And all these different TikTok accounts have been saying these people have, you know, got what they asked for. You've had all these people protesting in Spain against tourism, and now people are just not prepared to go there because they don't want to be, you know. They had some people alleged that they've been, you know, shouted at, assaulted, all sorts of stuff. And that seems to be what some TikTok accounts are claiming. But then you never know for certain. They might just be taking this footage when, you know, it's the middle of the night or something like that. But it looks quite much in daylight. But then again, it could be in a closed down area of Benidorm. You have to think about all these things when you're looking at them, because all these people that put this sort of stuff out are after is clicks. And if they have to lie in order to get those clicks, well, you know my feelings on that. Okay. Now, I say this is supposed to be more fun. Well, it's not a lot of fun, but basically there's a lady in France. Her home was invaded by squatters. And then these squatters decided to go on a little vacation. I suppose you've got quite a bit of money if you don't have to pay rent, haven't you, or a mortgage. And so while they left her property, she got the locks changed. And when they came back, they went to the authorities and she's been arrested. And she may not only be fined, but go to prison. And again, I think back to these major corporations buying up property everywhere. There's been talk, speculation in the mainstream media, that in the next budget in the UK, the Labour government may be looking to charge national insurance on profits made by landlords on their property. Now, a lot of people, I've only ever owned the one place I live in now. I was always renting up to now. And most of my landlords were okay, but there were some real scumbags out there that didn't want to do one thing. All they wanted to do was count their money, basically. And so you'd have a problem, and they just wouldn't fix it. You know, because they didn't want to spend any of the money that they're getting off you. But corporations don't pay national insurance in that way. Obviously, we've got corporations that have to pay national insurance now, a lot more national insurance on employees, which has caused a lot of problem in the hospitality industry here in the UK, because they had to pay, as they have to pay more national insurance on their employees. It's like a tax hike, because in the end, the companies that have to pay more national insurance than they used to on their employees, they're going to have to raise their prices, aren't they, to pay for it. But my scepticism makes me think, is this, like COVID, seem to be a lot of progress was made in closing down the small and medium business, but a lot of preferential treatment, such as, you know, what was the term that, essential. The essential shops all seemed to be the corporate ones, didn't they? Well, could this be another move to try and penalise the private landlord so that it's the corporate that takes everything over? We know the old adage, you will own nothing and you will be happy. We can go back further in time to other people who claim to want the whole of the earth's wealth in their hands and everyone has to rent from them, that sort of thing. So this could all be coming together here. But going back to this woman, I mean, just think of it. It's your property and you're the one going to jail for kicking people out who shouldn't even be there. So it's amazing to me. We've also got these renters' rights coming out in the UK later in the year, which is going to make it... I haven't really looked into it too deeply, to be quite honest with you, but there's all sorts of articles you see about people who do rent property out saying, that's it for me, I'm getting out now, that sort of thing. So they say it's bad now, a lot of these landlords, and it's going to get worse. Okay, there's another guy. I think nicer stories is probably wrong. I think non-political stories is probably better. This one is a guy who claims to have been unable to sleep for 2 years. Now, there's a lot of experts, they call themselves, or the people who put the stories out call themselves, that have been saying this is just not possible, okay? He might not think he's getting sleep. He might be getting a light sort of sleep, that sort of stuff. But this guy claims he's got all sorts of health problems, not been able to sleep at all. I was reminded of one of the better X-Files episodes. I believe it's from season 2. I think it's called Sleepless. And what essentially happens is, first, it's got Tony Todd in it, the guy from Candyman and Final Destination, who's a great character actor. There's a group of soldiers, or ex-soldiers, and they start dying. And it turns out it's this guy who's, some of them he's taken out for what they've done. Things like that. Yeah, it was from the second season. I won't bore you with all the details, but essentially what happened was these soldiers, they were, something was done to their brains, and as a result, to make them the ultimate fighting machine that never needed to sleep, so they could be awake all the time. And it also caused some psychopathic tendencies in some of them, which resulted in a lot of war crimes in the Vietnam War, things like that. That's what the story is. And you meet a few of them in this episode, which is, of course, fiction, the X-Files. They haven't slept for 24 years. And it's all because of something that was done to their brains. So there you go. Let's see what else I've got. Not much left. There was a couple, they were going on holiday. And they were from Morocco, I believe. But they were going on holiday in from an airport in Barcelona. And their 10-year-old child's passport had expired. Their 10-year-old son. And they didn't want to miss the holiday, so they left him at the airport. So I shouldn't laugh. I mean, it's not as bad as it sounds, in the sense that they didn't just leave him there. They phoned a relative and said, look, he's at the airport, can you pick him up and look after him, please? But the police are not very happy with that. They've said that, you know, that's just not done over here in Barcelona. So they're coming after them. But, and they've been charged of abandoning the 10-year-old child, and sounds like they caused a flight delay as well, because I believe that when the child was spoken to by airport authorities and he was told that they got on the plane and he hadn't, that I think they went to get on the plane to get him off. And you know what happens when that happens, they have to get all the luggage out and find what their luggage is and all that sort of stuff. Okay. And also, in Austria, you have a inmate in prison who weighs nearly 300 kilos. And he's actually had to be provided with a specially welded ultra-strong bed. And he has 24-hour specialised care from externally provided nurses, which is costing a fortune. And that's the story that made it in the likes of Oddity Central, etc. And even transporting him around costs 5,000 euros per trip. And so they're interrogating him whenever they need to question him. He was arrested for drugs, I believe, by video link. And the Austrian media have been saying he's costing 10 times more than a normal inmate, and complaining about how he gets his doctor's appointments a lot earlier than most of us have to wait, or most of them will. You could say that about a lot of people in your country at the moment, couldn't you? Seem to get preferential treatment. Okay, I wonder what would happen if I went to Austria and I, you know, went in there without a passport. I wonder. Okay. Finally, a teenage girl in China, who's only 17, and she seduced a 19-year-old Chinese man. And it was in order to trap him into working for a organization that takes people as slaves. So this guy, this 19-year-old, was taken to a secluded camp. He had his head shaved. And do you know what he had to do? He had to sit in front of a computer for 16 to 20 hours a day, carrying out scams over the computer. Okay? And he had daily quotas that he had to fulfill. So he had to rip off so many people a day. And if he didn't get his daily quota, he'd get severe physical punishment, including being hit with metal rods over his back and head. While he was held captive during this, he lost 10 kilos due to food deprivation. And it turned out that he was so bad at scamming people that the people that were holding him in slavery to do this contacted his family to ask for a ransom to send him back. And the ransom, it was Chinese money, so it was in yuan, but it equates to just under $50,000. And I believe they paid that. They've not found the gang yet, but they did find the girlfriend, who the 17-year-old who pretended to be interested in him and got him involved in this slave thing. She's been arrested. But what an amazing story. It makes you think again, doesn't it, about all these scam calls you get and stuff like that. You can't, you know, really gets annoying. Who could do stuff like this? Well, some people that are doing it might actually be doing it against their will. That's not something that ever crossed my mind. Okay, so let's have a look and see what's going on in the mainstream news right now. Just have a little drink while I load up apnews.com. Associated Press. Top story, father of boy killed in Minneapolis church shooting. Remember his love, not the violence. Police say Minneapolis church shooter was filled with hatred and admired mass killers. That's the headline. Anyway, mystery surrounds 1.2 billion army contract to build huge detention tent camp in Texas desert. That's the next one down. Let's go over to Reuters, see what's going on over there. Reuters.com. US low-value package tariff exemption ends. That's the top story, went up an hour ago. The move raises costs and disrupts supply chain models for e-commerce companies, small businesses using online marketplaces, and consumers alike. There you go. So it seems like the small businesses are the ones being hardest hit by this. That's quite interesting, isn't it? Let's go over to the BBC news website. Have a look at their top 10 stories. Most read. So you have to scroll down on bbc.co.uk/news. That's where you find their news website. Number 10. European leaders outraged after Russian strikes kill 23 and damage EU's HQ. They've got some sort of base in Kiev, I believe it was. It's not like a military thing, but it actually gets foreign aid, I believe, from different EU countries. So it's not technically like an embassy or something. It's a bit confusing. I looked into it and I got a bit bored, quite frankly. So that's all I can tell you about it. Number 9, Minneapolis school attacker obsessed with idea of killing children, officials say. Number 8, children to be offered chickenpox vaccine on the NHS. That's incidentally the top story at the moment, but it's only the 8th most read. Number 7, the Druid's Oak is 800 years old. Can it help save tomorrow's forests? Number 6, White House names RFK Jr. deputy as replacement CDC director. Number 5, member of Scottish Parliament locked out of Parliament after secret toilet camera claims. Number 4, it's a chaotic mess. UK firms warn over US small parcel tax. That sounds like what I was just referring to from the other website. Number 3, India put us on the boat like captives, then threw us in the sea. Number 2, they think itch all over and fears over tax raid. That's obviously the What the Papers Say article. And number 1, ministers didn't do cost review of council mergers. Okay, so let's go over to the Daily Mail, see what's going on over there. They're still moaning about the Deputy Prime Minister Angela Rayner and her 3 properties when the Labour government has been accused of targeting people who have a second property. Headline, Angela Rayner house row deepens as it emerges. Deputy PM dodged £40,000 in stamp duty on her new Seaside Pad. There's a live feed on that going on at the moment. Angela Rayner Live, latest updates as Kirsty Allsop and Labour Minister weigh in on new stamp duty claims. So looks like the media is anticipating this is quite a serious matter that could result in something like a resignation, maybe. Otherwise, why are they running a live feed on the story as their second top story? So that's the main thing going on over there. Let's now have a look at the independent news, and we'll start off with rents.com. Scroll down to the headlines at the middle column. 60% of Americans oppose additional military aid to Israel. 50% believe Israel is committing genocide in Gaza. That takes you to an antiwar.com article. The battle behind World War III, collapsing economies, destabilised nations, terrorism and endless wars to erase debt, shatter systems and justify tyranny. Then we've got Fox News weirdo Trey Gowdy calls for disarming young white males in wake of Catholic school shooting. Israeli Defence Force desecrates Christian church, cuts face off Virgin Mary statue. And Beverly Hills to display Israeli flags in public schools. Okay. Oh, and then we've got Israeli official charged in paedophile sting skips NV court date. So that's some that Northern Virginia, I don't know. NV court date ordered to appear. He's back home in Israel, thanks to Trump. That is the claim there, and that takes you to the libertydaily.com website. And it's actually Nevada court, sorry, yeah, NV Nevada court. Right, let's go over to howlturnerradioshow.com. I'll just run through some of the headlines. Mexico president warns United States against military action. And then we've got the mass shooting at the Catholic Church in Minneapolis. NATO surges surveillance in the Black Sea. Massive attack being planned? Turkey begins building underground shelters in every province. And then we've got the story about the Israeli Defence Force cutting the face off the Virgin Mary statue is the next one down. Earthnewspaper.com, Mark R. Else's website. So just wait for that to load up for a second. See what's going on over here. And thank Mark for his support, as I thank Jeff Rents as well for broadcasting these shows on rentsradio.com. So the top story is a video by Nick Fuentes. That's just under 35 minutes. That's Rumble. Quote of the day is from Charles A. Lindbergh. How long can men thrive between walls of brick, walking on asphalt pavements, breathing the fumes of coal and of oil, growing, working, dying, with hardly a thought of wind and sky and fields of grain, seeing only machine-made beauty, the minimal light quality of life. And then we've got an Ezra Pound image and quote further down. That's pretty much up to date. So you can go over to earthnewspaper.com, and there are other interesting articles, videos, etc., that you will find. Biden Department of Justice star JC witness recants. That's a Rumble video by Emerald Robinson, just under 8 minutes further down. So lots to investigate and look at on there. And let's close out the show with the Before It's News top 10. Just going over to beforeitsnews.com. Right, here we go. Number 10. Went up 6 hours ago, 92 people viewing. Situation update 8:29:25. Trump launches emergency economic restoration. The QFS is here. Gazara goes live. Shocking new details of the trans cult killer. Number 9. Went up 5 hours ago. 92 people viewing. Sorry, this page jumped. It's so annoying when that happens. Alex Jones, emergency broadcast, 8:28:25. Trump and RFK Jr. just shocked the world. Number 8, well, up 7 hours ago, 97 people viewing. Mark Taylor interview, get your house in order. Number 7, well, up 5 hours ago, 101 people viewing. SGNon, breaking Trump intel, 8:29:25. This is it, folks, the countdown has begun. Number 6, well, up a day ago, 102 people viewing. Mike King, full intel drop. Trump Q secret, 8:28:25. Trump expands NG special op. Get ready. Number 5 went up 3 hours ago. 105 people viewing. Byington bombshell report. Trump gives green light on mass arrest child sex trafficking elites. And there's the pop-up asking me to subscribe, which I have no intention of doing. Number 4 went up 12 hours ago. 128 people viewing. And we know, 8:28:25, military relevant how, always attack when bad news hits the Dems. Yeah, the Republican-Democrat paradigm, a lot of these people really want to keep you in that, don't they? They don't want to indicate that they're both controlled by the same force, never do that. Number 3, well up 11 hours ago, 157 people viewing. Richard E. Byrd, before I die, I need to tell you the truth. Well, I thought he was dead. Number 2, well, up 5 hours ago, 188 people viewing. Kim Gogwin, full situation update. Trump dissolves IRS and Fed. US Corp dead, common law restored. And number 1, well, up 6 hours ago, 283 people viewing. Jerome Corsi and David Nino Rodriguez, 900 bankers dragged from secret meeting to Gitmo. I wonder. Okay, I am now going to record Sunday's traditional Christian message. I will be back with you all after that on Tuesday with Dr. Peter Hammond. And I want to thank all of you for listening to I'm Talking To You, episode 252, The Dog With The Dragon Tattoo. I hope you have a wonderful weekend, and bye for now.